The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to it's Brokenomics, isn't it? Yes, it's Brokenomics in the main studio. So I'm doing this one live. That is not purely a function of just having come back after the break and not having written a script or anything. It's because I really want to talk to all of our subscribers. I don't know how many people have signed up. You see, I couldn't make it in yesterday, and there's an important life lesson in this. You see, during the Christmas break, the wife has a diesel. So I said to the wife, make sure you drive the car a bit over the Christmas break, because when it's cold, diesels don't like being left all on their own, right? And she had a notion, right? She thought to herself, I know, I'll drive the Tesla everywhere because that way I'll save a few pence by not burning any diesel. And then when she tried to do the school run yesterday, the bloody thing wouldn't start. So thank you very much for saving me money, Mrs. Tubb. But what you in fact did is cause me to have to go to Halfords and buy a battery recharger and spend the whole day charging the bloody battery so that you get backwards and forwards. So a quick lesson for anybody who is not yet married. When you do get married, you need to stress the point about obey your husband, because it is simply too expensive to let these women have their own notions. Right, so with that aside, oh, also, some other interesting news. What was it? Right, I interviewed a guest this morning. It's going to need a bit of editing, not much. I need to put some yellow boxes up at the bottom, fact-checking, all that kind of stuff. but I interviewed a guest this morning who is probably our most requested guest ever, and I get like three or four people a day on Twitter asking me to interview this chap. Anyway, I just have, and that will be the next Brokenomics, which will be going out next week. But for now, let's find out if there is anyone in the waiting room, and if there is, we'll have a chat. And if not, you can watch me play games on my phones for the next like hour or 90 minutes or however long I need to sit here. So, producer Samson, do we have people?
Anyone in the Zoom call, please raise your
hand. Oh, yeah. And the story about the diesel, the reason for that was I told the editors, make sure you put the Brokenomics page up, right, yesterday in the normal slot so that people know that I'm doing it live today. And because I wasn't in and able to slap any of the young guys around the back of the head, it didn't bloody happen. That's why I was telling that story. I got lost, but I'm old, so I get confused easily. Right, sorry, Samson, do we have any people?
All right, yes, we do.
Oh, excellent. Right.
You are in the chat, waiting, and you want to ask Dan some questions, please raise your hand using the Zoom function and we can get to you.
All right. Let's find out then if this is working, if we have the technology.
We'll start with Ron Swansea.
Ron Swansea. Is that the same one who came in for an episode once on pensions? Might be. Maybe I'm confused. Anyway, put on Ron. Hello. Is that the same Ron that came in for the episode on pensions and stuff?
It is indeed.
Yeah.
It's
Return guest. Excellent. Very good. How are you, sir? And what would you like to talk about?
Yeah, no, that was going to be the subject of one of my questions, actually. So, yeah, no, things are interesting. I've had a bit of a weird 18 months since we met in person. And yeah, I think we should do a follow-up episode on the state of pensions, because Rachel from accounts has certainly done some interesting, if not awful, things to the state of British pensions. My question was going to be... So we talked a little bit about the fact that state pension in the UK is an unfunded, unmanageable nightmare. And I've had an idea on how to fix it.
Yes.
Essentially, I think what we should do is HMRC has the records for how much national insurance everybody is paid. And as we talked about in the pensions episode, your national insurance contributions give you an entitlement to the state pension in the UK. I think the best way to wrap up state pension would just be to commute all of people's contributions through NI into a savings pot, draw a line under it and say, state pension is no more, here's your pot, manage it yourself. That way you get to address the argument of, oh, I've paid into this for X amount of years and I deserve something. It's like, well, yeah, there you are. There's your contributions returned. You're no longer a drain on the working people. And it also means that you can just do away with national insurance, so it makes it cheaper to hire people again. What do you think about that?
Well, the first problem that springs to mind is that they don't have that money, because it's not like it's been collected all these years and put in a special savings account and then used to pay out your pension. It's been taken in and immediately spaffed up the wall on something else. Normally sort of welfare and pensions and the NHS, they're the big three. So it's not like they actually have that money available. So they, if they were to ring fence it, it would have to be an accounting entry only, and then ultimately you'd have to borrow it or print it into existence. I'll say the second part in a minute. So, I mean, would you agree with that bit of it? That the problem is they don't actually have it?
Yeah, I completely agree, but that's not really stopping the government from spending money now. So I don't see that as a hurdle that they'd be unwilling to go over.
Yeah, I mean,
we're already in the zeitgeist where the government borrows money to pay for things that nobody asked for. Mm. I think if you dress this up with the right policy language and say, you know, call it pensions fairness, it would be quite quite easy, because I'm very concerned that people, I mean, maybe even your age, Dan, but certainly my age, and like I'm sure Samson as well, we're never going to see state pension. It's just going to be one of those things that is just going to be, it's going to be inflated into absurdity. If you think about the fact that it's about £230 a week at the moment, and you know, by the time we all get to 70, Dan, for you it's going to be like £2,000 a week. By the time I get to, you know, 75 or whatever it is, by the time I'm allowed to get state pension, it's going to be like £10,000 a week. Well, not yeah, but by the, you know, the way inflation's working, because lock means that I'm being hyperbolic, obviously, but you know, it's not unreasonable to think the way Labour are ruining the economy that inflation will go mental in the next 3-4 years.
Printed. Yeah, so I'll tell you what I would do. I don't think they could make that work without borrowing the money, and it would be quite a lot of it at this point. So I'm not sure I'd go that. What I probably would do, now I think about it, is basically, so you have a scheme in the UK called salary sacrifice. I'm sure you're familiar with that one. But for any who don't know, if you're in a workplace, you can basically agree to earn less. And actually, Rachel Reeves has just attacked this. And that difference is then gets put straight into a pension pot, which you can't touch until your retirement age. And it's as if you are earning less, and therefore you pay less tax, and so you can pull yourself below a tax threshold. And it's tax thresholds that often stop people from working or taking a promotion or doing extra hours and stuff. So what you could do is just make that scheme much more accessible, and you can do it at the point of your tax return, or just expand that scheme so that anybody who wants to, from any age, even if they're not with a company scheme or something like that, can just say to the tax man, okay, You know, I'm gonna pay less tax, and that money is gonna go straight into a ring fence pension pot. And then it's as if you're earning less, and then people could use that to pull themselves down below a tax band that would then make them more inclined. Because if you've got somebody who's just on the verge of a higher tax band, they might be willing to put in all those extra hours, as long as they can keep below themselves below that tax band and basically pay the difference into a pension pot. And that way you're encouraging people to put money into a pension aside and then just give them some variation. So, I mean, I've not thought about that one in any great detail, but that's the first thing that pops into my head. That would probably be a viable way of doing it.
Can I jump in?
Yes.
Yeah, that idea is so good, it's already a real thing.
Oh, well, right, okay, yes.
That is how pensions tax relief works at the moment. So you can put in the lower of 100% of your salary or £60,000 a year into the pensions environment, and it does count as a reduction in your salary by doing that. I think what your
SIPs and stuff.
Well, yeah. So the SIP is a form of pension. Right. It's like saying like a Snickers is a form of chocolate bar.
But it does so, what I so maybe the solution is to push that a lot more, coupled with we are and make it incredibly simple for it and run low IQ government ads pushing that but also say to people, by the way, if you are, you know, pick an age, like if you're a millennial or let's say you're currently under 50 or whatever it is, by the way, you're not getting a pension, so please start doing this or whatever it is you do, something like that.
So I wouldn't even give people the choice. What you need to do to counteract it is you need to increase auto-enrollment contributions. So instead of paying 13.8% national insurance and 5% of your salary into your auto-enrollment pension, what we should do is we should just bin off national insurance and increase the amount people put into auto-enrollment pensions from a minimum of 10%. So because with company, when you're an employee, since George Osborne was in number 11, this has been the thing. You know, any employee over the tax working threshold has been eligible. Well, you know, you get automatically enrolled into your company's workplace pension.
Yes.
And you have to physically opt out. So the inertia is the big driver behind that. It's why it's a big success. And like over 90% of the country are, are auto-enrolled. This is the way to fix this. And because the money is invested, you've got the opportunity to beat inflation through, you know, you can either manage it yourself or you just leave the fund manager to manage it however you want. But the point is you have actually a ring fence pot of money there. My suggestion with this whole sort of getting rid of the state pension, the way it works, is our system works fundamentally different to a lot of other developed countries. And other developed countries tend to do a lot what looks like our auto-enrollment scheme, but they do it at the state level, and I just don't trust the state to do that. I would rather everyone privately manage their money.
So default to the state, but have the option. Default to the state, but have an option to do your own thing if you want.
We need to come up with a mechanism for...
Yes.
Well, I don't even think that. I think we need to have the... We need to just find a way of getting rid of the state pension legislation as it is, but we need to find a fair break in how we do it. And I think the longer we kick the can down the road, the worse and the uglier it's going to be. And I'm just trying to spitball ways to make it a reality.
Yeah, that is worth thinking about more. And yes, we should have another chat before too long. So let's stay in touch and do something like that. But I'm just aware more hands are appearing on the screen. So. Let's have a chat with Samson. So thank you very much, Ron. Samson, could we find somebody with their hand up and make them appear? I'm willing to take questions on economic, finance, Warhammer 40,000, success in life and with women. Whatever it is you want to ask.
Right. Sophie, you are up.
So, Sophie, what would you like to...
You're getting a woman. You're lucky.
Good. How are you, sir? How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing good.
Excellent.
Of course,
Do any of you people have cameras on your computers? Because I feel like I'm talking to subtitles in the middle of the night. I've only got...
Well, I tried to turn it on, but it won't do it. I'm kind of...
I wonder if
from...
Samson needs to do something. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
People have appeared. There we go. That's easier. Sophie, what would you like to talk about?
I actually wanted to ask if you're going to ever talk about the AI bubble.
The AI bubble, yes. I'm not sure that it is necessarily a bubble. Now, a lot of capital has flowed in, but the thing is, it is bloody remarkable, AI. I mean, what you can do with it. I mean, I use it all the time now. It's absolutely sodding wonderful for fixing the wife's diesel to making dinner to, like, everything else in between, to preparing for a Brokenomics episode. I mean, anything. You can ask it absolutely anything, and it's brilliant. And I spent last night... I've got this group chat with my mates from school, and we got whole loads of old photos over the years in it. And basically, I spent yesterday evening animating them on Grok, and putting us in hilarious situations. So yeah, and it will probably have some practical effects as well. And so I'm less concerned with the narrative about the bubble, because think about what happens if let's say one of these companies does fail. Well, all that's going to do is release capacity, will then immediately be bought out by one of the other players. So I'm less concerned with the amount of money that's gone into it and whether any of the valuations are toppy and whether they come down, or even if one of them collapses, because I think the total utility of it is just going to get snapped up. I mean, what's your thoughts on it then? Because I'm just not sure that, I mean, okay, yes, valuations might come off and get shifted around, but I don't see a world in which AI is not significantly bigger in a few years.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's not profitable. It takes so much energy, and they're building all of these centers. And at some point, right now, it's all venture capitalism. So it's, you know, investment. And we have this entire circular thing with NVIDIA paying for something that pays them back to buy the chips and so on. And of course, I can see, as an artist, I'm biased, because I'm sitting drawing right now something that's not AI. So
right. Yeah. Thing is, though, on the profitable stuff, I haven't looked into it closely, but I kind of wouldn't expect it to be profitable anyway. I mean, you've got to bear in mind, like, Amazon, they didn't make a profit until, like, 2022 or something like that. The way these big companies work is they just roll over anything. Before it even becomes a profit, they just roll it over into capital expenditure and expand the operation. So it's not actually that surprising that it's not profitable. It should be revenue generating. And I now you've prompted me, I'm going to have to go and look to see if it is revenue generating. And the revenue should be offsetting the cash costs.
I have a guess for the future. Maybe I'm thinking right now we have all of these free options because of all of the venture capitalism. But at one point they'll have to take subscriptions, and some already do. But these subscriptions are going to be way more expensive. So there'll be a point that there will be AI. AI never goes away, but it'll become so expensive that we'll have Disney and so on using AI, but the ordinary person won't really be able to afford it anymore. That's kind of my guess.
I don't know. I mean, historically, tech trends have taken the opposite to that trajectory. The cost has come down over time. The interesting thing that Elon here has been doing is he wants to sort of move the cloud into space, which is kind of clever. So because he's got access to low orbital launch, so he can basically put data servers up in space and stick a solar panel on top and basically process it all locally, which means his marginal cost of energy drops to zero. He's just got the initial capital cost of getting stuff up there. He's got a direct-to-consumer line, and then that becomes highly scalable with virtually no energy costs. So I don't know. I think somebody will find a model. Obviously, ChatGPT, you do charge a subscription for that. Grok, well, I think you do pay a subscription, but it's the standard X subscription. And Google will probably, I mean, their whole model is based on advertising, so I'd expect it to, and I don't know what Meta's doing, or if they're even involved. I don't really pay attention to that one. But I don't know, I'm just less pessimistic than you are.
Yeah, but again, I'm biased because, of course, I want it to go away as I'm, you know, trying to do art, and it's taking my opportunity.
It is astonishing. You should use it more. It's astonishingly useful. Just next time you're going to cook something, like, just point your camera at it and say, right, how do I cook this? And it will walk you, or fix your car, or mend your sink. I mean, it's just, I think it's bloody marvellous. And I want a robot butler.
I want to do it myself, though.
Yeah, you do it yourself.
I want to learn. I don't want to become dumb.
Well, I think it makes you smarter. I don't know. We have to come back to that. We see how it unfolds. But I want my robot butler.
If you would like to see the full version of this premium video, please head over to lotuseaters.com and subscribe to gain full access to all of our premium content.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.